You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Friday. It's a meat Friday. It's hour two, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. We'll dissect the Dodgers moving on, beating the Giants. Yes, we'll talk about that check swing. Oh, my God, that's the reason why they lost. No, that's not. The Giants lost because they scored 10 runs in five games. The Dodgers scored 18 runs, and their pitching matched the Giants' pitching. Dodgers had just a little more hitting. But we'll talk to Harold Reynolds on loan from the Major League Baseball Network. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, if you're still using email. We've scrubbed our emails here, Dan Patrick Show, of course. DP at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. McLovin, poll question from the first hour. Or are we staying with that in the second hour?
Okay, I put up, should MLB expand its replay? And it's a 50-50 vote. Hundreds of votes in, and everyone is torn on that. I don't think we're going anywhere with that. I have a couple other questions.
Okay.
Who is better, 25-year-old Tom Brady or 44-year-old Tom Brady? 25 is a little bit before his peak.
I might say now. I might say 44-year-old. He knows you can't surprise him with anything. Still feels like he can make every throw. He looks like he's in better shape now at 44 than he did at 25. So, yeah, I'd probably say that. By the way, Amber Ruffin is back for another season of her smart and silly take on the news of the week. Late night, Peacock Original, new episodes, The Amber Ruffin Show, drop every Friday. To get started, go to peacocktv.com and sign up now. Down to the final episode of Squid Game.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah, we've, I think, been watching at about the same pace here.
Pretty much together. We might as well just say together.
Together, but not in the same room together.
We were basically watching it together.
Yes. You, me, and your wife.
Correct.
Watching together. Yes, boy.
Can you give us an idea what it's about without spoiling it or no?
Yeah.
Just a morsel.
It's about a group of people who are down on their luck financially. They are bankrupt, or they committed crimes. They owe a lot of money to a lot of different people. And they happen upon this person who says, hey, I'm going to give you a chance to make some money. They don't realize, and all they're going to do is play kids' games. And then they realize the kids' games have serious implications, ramifications.
That old bit?
That you live and die in these games. And literally live and die in these games. And then you have this for amusement with other people watching this, VIPs who watch this for entertainment purposes. They bet on you. And it gets real halfway through the first episode. Red light, green light, it got real. And it gets uncomfortable. Not for younger kids. some grownups, too. Not for older kids, either. But it is... it's interesting. It visually, brilliantly done. But it's a South Korean group of actors who have put this on. And it might turn out to be Netflix's biggest show ever. It's that powerful, that popular. Yes, Heath.
And there's always, with the game, there's like a life and death element to it. But there's also some like psychological twist to a lot of them, too, that you're like, oh, dang,
yeah.
This is brutal.
Yeah, yeah, Paul.
Remember that movie with Schwarzenegger, Running Man? Now, that was a little campy and hokey. I'm guessing it's more serious than that.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's a good flick, though. Running Man?
Yeah.
It's not unlike Running Man, though. It's got a similar vibe to it. I can see the similarities there for sure.
Was Richard Dawson the host of Running Man?
Yes.
Sure was.
Yeah. Maria Conchita Alonso is a love interest.
Yeah.
Loved her
Let's
in the
go.
80s and 90s.
Okay. Yes, McLovin.
If you combine Running Man with the Oscar-winning movie Parasite, you'd have Squid Games. It's got a lot of Parasite in it.
Yep.
Yeah. But I don't think many people watch Parasite, even though it won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Parasite is incredible.
Yeah.
That was an awesome movie. That was fantastic.
But that's about a family that doesn't have much, and then they aspire to have everything, and then they work their way into a family, have everything, but, at the end, they're empty, that they really don't have anything.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But I didn't give the ending away.
I know. I'm just
and I know I'm guaranteed to be disappointed in the ending of Squid Game. I know I will be. Guaranteed. So I'm going into the final episode where I know I will be disappointed. Therefore, I can't be disappointed that I know I'm going to be disappointed. So I'm trying to play a mind game on myself. Yes, Paul.
So Parasite is like the opposite of Schitt's Creek, where the family has everything, then they lose it. The Parasite, they have nothing and get it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And, yeah. All righty. Now that we've settled that. By the way, Only Murders in the Building is really well done. That's Steve Martin. That's on Hulu. And it's funny and also serious. Selena Gomez is in that.
She's great in that.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never heard her speak before. I hadn't. Like, she was one of those, you know, 140 million followers or whatever she's got. But I'd never heard her say a word.
Only sing.
Yeah. But she holds her own. She holds her own with Martin Short and Steve Martin in there. What else? The Morning Show, by the way. Watching that. Jennifer Aniston. Season 2. Reese Witherspoon. Billy Crudup. Sneaky great. Did we meet Billy Crudup, Paulie?
Yes. We were in New York City about 15 years ago. It was a Counting Crows show.
Round here!
And he was with, I can't remember the actress's name, that he was either married or what.
They have a kid.
That's
she
right.
She was in Weeds.
Mary something. Mary Louise Parker.
He didn't marry Mary Louise Parker.
No.
But her name was Mary Louise. Mary Louise Parker.
But he was really nice, and we had beers with him.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a big sports guy.
Sometimes Paul, well, he played Steve Prefontaine, didn't he?
That's a good movie, Without Limits.
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. Is anybody going to watch Squid Game who hasn't started yet? Seton, you've been watching McLovin?
Yeah, I'm two in. It's a little tough for me. I may or may not have read the Wikipedia description of what happens moving forward.
But you always do that.
Yeah. I actually find some of the Wikipedia entries too scary to even finish them. Midnight Mass, by the way, the other big hit on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's a terrifying Wikipedia entry. Some random horror movie.
I'm probably going to start that after I finish Squid Game. I'm going to do Midnight Mass.
But see, I'm not a horror film guy.
That's all there is now.
I know. I don't like that.
I saw a commercial last night during the baseball game. All I know is some horror movie, like someone's getting killed. They go, that family ain't Amish. It's about a fake Amish family who kills people.
Oh, that old bit.
By the way, I was watching the Mothership last night for a little bit. I was watching Navy against Memphis. And they throw it up on the screen that all the great college football matchups this weekend, or at least the top-ranked teams, and they give you the sense that they're all playing against one another. Number one, number three, number four, number five. And then you go, oh, wow, what a great weekend. And you realize that they're not playing anybody. They're not playing each other. Number two, number three, number five. Wow. Oh, they're not playing each other. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, it's number three, Cincinnati versus UCF. Number two, Iowa versus Purdue. Number five, Alabama versus Mississippi State.
By the way, go to danpatrick.com. The new T-shirts up there. We got some great ones, including Justin Herbert inspired football is fun T-shirt in the Charger colors there. So you can go to danpatrick.com and pick that up. Phone calls, we'll get to those coming up. We'll check in with Harold Reynolds with what the Dodgers did last night. And handicap, they got the Braves series coming up. So we got the Final Four in baseball. Also, football last night, Tom Brady, well on his way to breaking every single season record there is for a quarterback in his 40s. Might even break some of them for any age. He came into week six leading the league in passing yards, second in touchdowns. He threw for just under 300 yards, two touchdowns, in a six-point win against the Eagles. You know, it was 2007 when Brady had 50 touchdowns. That was 14 years ago. Now with an extra regular season game, he's on pace for, I don't like to do on pace, but, you know, we loved saying, well, he could be, it's like when somebody throws five touchdowns, you know, first week, and you go, he's on pace for, well, yeah, I guess technically he is. But what he's done so far, it's a surgical approach, and you saw that last night. You know, granted, slicing and dicing the Eagles, not exactly the steel curtain, but he has Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Antonio Brown looks wonderful. Leonard Fournette was a big hero last night. Gronk out, won't be back for a couple more weeks, but Brady doesn't need to add anything to cement his legacy, but he's doing it, and he said he'd like to play. He could play for another 10 years. But you're watching Brady, and, you know, granted, it's going against the Eagles, but you give him protection. He's got some weapons. And Antonio Brown is playing the way he did with the Steelers. You know, Godwin and Evans are younger players. O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard last night was doing what he did at Alabama. Basically, a little screen pass to the tight end, then he just runs over everybody. You know, you have that and Cameron Brayton. I mean, he's got weapons. If that defense holds up its end of the bargain, then they're going to be playing perhaps in another Super Bowl this year. And I can't imagine that Brady, it's hard to walk away when you're doing well, and it's hard to walk away when you're not. Usually what happens is you get injured, and then you have to walk away. You know, Elway is one of the few to do it perfectly. Peyton Manning. Peyton didn't play well and, you know, had to walk away. John Elway was limping away. But you win those Super Bowls. I just don't know what would be, if I was looking at, this is the scenario for Brady. It feels like he would walk away after winning another Super Bowl. But I don't know. Because you keep thinking, like, nobody passes up. It's like billionaires don't pass up money. Athletes don't pass up championships. Like, if LeBron thinks the Lakers are still going to be contenders, he's not going to walk away. And I can't imagine Brady's going to go, nah, I've had enough winning. Now, it could be about his family. That would be the reason. And that's why I didn't think he would be playing this long, because what his wife had said a few years ago, when she was on the CBS morning show, and she brought up Tom's concussions. Well, Tom's never been diagnosed, I don't think, with a concussion. She said, well, he's had concussions, and she wants him basically to walk away. That's 4 years ago. So I can't imagine him, unless Giselle says, you've got enough, you got to come home. And sometimes we don't realize this. And I've mentioned this before in my life. I was working at ESPN. That's where you want to end up. And then my wife said, you're going to continue to work there, and your kids are going to be all grown and out of the house. In your mind, you're like, no, I'll see them. Well, it's the smartest thing I ever did. I came home. That was it. Just came home. And Brady will eventually get to that point. And, you know, I was a little bit older than Brady when I decided that I was going to come home. Not much older. But you realize that. And sometimes you'll be looking at, I remember Joe Gibbs told me something. Great Washington football coach. And he said, you know, because I said, you get caught up in working and you keep working. And, you know, that's your life and your family understands that's what you do. You're at the hour, you know, all hours of the night with your job. He said he came home and he realized his son was not sleeping in a crib anymore. He was sleeping in a big boy bed, according to Joe. And it hit him like a ton of bricks that he had just missed these years. And he said it was the first time it really resonated that I'm spending so much time working and not with my family. And it's one of those that you only know it when it happens to you, because somebody could tell you this and you go, not a big deal. It'll hit one day, and then you'll hate yourself. And I battle myself about this often. My wife says you got to let it go. You miss out on so many things because I was working second shift. But here I am working second shift. Great money. ESPN. You know, we're doing great things. And then all of a sudden, you're missing out on all these things. And maybe that's the only thing that would take Tom away from this. Unless it's an injury. Team's going to be good. You're playing in that division. You're going to be competitive. You know, I just don't see him walking away anytime soon. And he shouldn't, unless it comes down to, I got to be with my family. Yeah, Paul.
But I wonder if he's playing for the franchise and the coach where there's a lot more wiggle room, OTAs and showing up to practice and maybe taking a day for yourself or whatever it may be. Bruce Arians had a quote yesterday. I don't want to be a father figure. I want to be the cool uncle you go have beers with. And that's who he's playing for now.
Yeah.
I wonder, and living in Florida, it's a different lifestyle for him and his family year round. I wonder if he's got like a little more wiggle room than he may have had at the old place.
Well, I went to management at ESPN and asked if I could do the radio show from my home. I had a studio at home. That was it. I just wanted one day. And they said no, precedent setting. And if they had let me do that, I probably would have stayed there. But didn't happen. Went home, started doing the show out of my attic for 3 years, and I was home every single day. And it's the best decision I ever made. But I wasn't smart enough to make it earlier. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Man, got a little heavy on a Friday. Traegers are all fired up as well. Mario's dad came. It's bring your dad to work day, apparently. But Fritzy and Paulie and I, we can't do that. But Mario brought his dad in. He's going to be cooking some Puerto Rican food. I haven't seen any cooking going on yet, but I know the Traegers are fired up. Yes, McLovin.
If you want to lighten up, I could tell you the story of the time I met Joe Gibbs. He is not a McLovin fan.
What?
I've never had less chemistry with any celebrity I've ever met. I could save the story real quick, but...
Okay, let me take a break.
Yeah.
So Joe Gibbs, a Hall of Fame coach, doesn't like you.
No.
Okay. We'll take a break. Harold Reynolds will recap the Dodger win over the Giants from last night. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover, which if you do the math, that means when it comes to using your Discover credit card, you're going to get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Settled on a poll question, right, McLovin, for hour two?
Well, we still have hour one. Should they expand replay? And it's 50-50 for Major League Baseball. Same question for football.
What happens is when it's a big market team or it's a standalone game and then something happens, that's when change happens. You know, the Dodgers and Yankees in those one-game playoffs, oh, that's not fair to them. The Dodgers, they won all these games. That's not fair. Okay, then change it next year. But I don't know if anybody said this in previous years when you had teams that maybe of lesser recognition or fan bases that anybody really cared that there was a one-game winner-take-all. Yeah, McLovin.
The analogy to the Saints-Rams NFC title game where they missed that pass interference, that was way more impactful than this check swing, right?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. I mean, that was for the Super Bowl.
And the series, the game really did come down to that play.
Yeah, yeah. And they missed it, and they, you know, didn't review. They didn't even huddle up to say, hey, you know what? You really missed that. And I don't know if the umpires would have huddled up. It feels like they don't want to embarrass somebody where the call was made. It was the wrong call, in my opinion, but that's not why the Giants lost. Let's bring in Harold Reynolds, who's joining us, Major League Baseball Network analyst. Game one of the ALCS, Red Sox and Astros, begins tonight on Fox. You can watch Harold before and after every game on MLB Network's MLB Tonight. All right, let's start with the check swing. Give me what is the ruling on the check swing, and what did you think about the call?
Well, I didn't think it was a good call. I think he missed it. The ruling, though, is that's non-reviewable. And we've come across a few plays in baseball where they don't get reviewed, which I think at this point in time, reviews should be for everything out there because you don't have conversations like this. And so I know they continue to grow and change. We'll see if that happens with this.
But how do you review it? Is it the umpires review it? Or do I have to have a challenge flag to do this? Is there an eye in the sky that helps these umpires and says, you guys need to check this? A home office like you have with the NFL?
Well, most reviews are come out of New York anyway.
Right.
In pace of the game, you may have to have somebody designated at the stadium. You can't take 3 minutes in the middle of an at-bat to call, put your headset on. Okay, he didn't go. And now your pitcher's iced. The hitter is different than any other sport. So you got to keep it moving. And one of the things they've done, Dan, real quick with replay is, you know, manager's got 20 seconds to challenge something on the field. And then they can start the process. But I think we got to make it more like real time. Not, oh, I saw something, now I review it. That's not right either.
The Dodgers advanced because?
Depth. I mean, we saw it all. Who can go get Max Scherzer? Who can take a 20-game winner and say, you know what? We're going to start with an opener. I mean, the depth of this team is so deep. So I think that's why they will continue to to go through. Now seven games really shows the depth of this club.
Mookie Betts, once again, like Mookie Betts, sometimes you forget, and then Mookie Betts taps you on the shoulder and says, don't forget. Like, how good is Mookie Betts?
He's one of the greats of all time. I mean, he does something every game. The other night, he made the spin-around throw and said, oh, wow, that's Roberto Clemente. You know, last night he gets four hits. I really think him playing in Boston in that pressure cooker as a young player helped him slow the game down and understand the moments. Watching him do pregame interviews yesterday, he acted as if it was a regular season game. That only comes with experience.
But I go back to the Red Sox when they got rid of him. Did they make the right move? I mean, here they are in the ALCS. They saved a lot of money. Was it the right move for the Red Sox?
Well, I think the Red Sox kind of wanted to save him and lock him up. I mean, they offered him a pretty good deal. Yeah. But I think Mookie really wanted to go. Okay. At the end of the day, as we look back now, what, 3 years removed? That was more Mookie's decision than the Red Sox. I think he wanted to go somewhere else.
Scherzer coming out of the bullpen. Like, I don't think he came charging out of the bullpen. It was like, you know, the running of the bulls in Pamplona. I mean, it was, he wanted to get on that mound. It was almost like he was being timed. Like, hey, if you don't get there in 15 seconds, then you don't get to pitch. But, man, I love watching him pitch.
It's so great in our sport to see a guy go, I want the ball.
Yeah.
You know, in football, it's different. Basketball, because you have to go to the go-to guy. And in baseball, you know, he's going on 2 days rest. We have regiments. We have schedules. He came ready to play. And I just love him. I got to tell you this quick story, Dan. I was shooting this thing with him 3 years ago for Nike. It was a whole new Nike ad. They were coming out with new equipment. And so I spent time with Trout, Springer, Baez, and Scherzer. Went to each spring training camp. So Max is in full gear. They're breaking out the new Nike uniform. It's not out yet. So he's got to throw a bullpen that day. And we're like, hey, can we film you live? No problem. So we watch his bullpen. He's got a simulated game. He's going to throw a two-inning simulated game. He has full uni on. You'll love this, Dan. He throws 16, 20 pitches, and now he's getting ready to go play the simulated game. He stops after the 15th pitch, takes his hat off, and is standing there singing the anthem. This game set. So I'm like, well, shoot, I guess I'm going to take my hat off and stand here too. And he's singing through the anthem. He, the pitching coach, and the catcher, they all stop. And as soon as they finish the full, complete anthem, he put his hat back on, grabbed the rosin, got the ball, threw five more pitches, and sprinted to the mound. I went, this guy's nuts. He's a gamer.
But he's got 197 wins, including the postseason. But a Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. First ballot. I think also, Dan, we got to start looking Hall of Fame different with this generation.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Game has flipped. It's totally flipped in the last 10 years, and particularly the last 5 years. We may never see a guy throw 200 innings in a season. I mean, how are we going to gauge 300 wins? So it is totally different now. We got to start looking at how we're going to look at guys for Hall of Fame. I throw this to you real quick, and think about this. You and McLovin and all the guys there. This may be the best contract in sports history. For baseball, for sure. The contract he had with Washington. He fulfilled it. Pitched every start. Won a World Series. All-star. Two Cy Youngs in there. Pretty impressive.
Well, I also wonder about Jacob DeGrom. He might go into the Hall of Fame as a 500 pitcher.
I know, man. Look, it's gone. When Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young, I think in Seattle 1 year, 13 and 12, and they went, well, but look at this whip and look at all these other numbers. It was over. Game over.
Like DeGrom was 10 and 9.
And they were trying to give him the MVP, let alone Cy Young. Time out.
We're talking to Harold Reynolds of Major League Baseball Network. Altuve is still raking, man. I know it's hard to leave 2017 in the rearview mirror here. I don't know. Can you leave 2017 in the rearview mirror when you talk about today's Astros?
No, you can't. The core of that club is still there. And even if you weren't on that team, you were now banging on a garbage can. I mean, that's just the way you're going to be viewed. And I wouldn't even bring it up if the players weren't answering that question themselves. They know it. That's just going to be with them forever. I do remember back then when it first broke in like 19 or whatever, that Altuve was the one player that everybody was saying he didn't want signs. And I get that. I play with a number of players who never wanted signs. They would give signs, but they didn't want to know what might be coming in case you messed up giving it to them.
So when you're at second base and you're signaling in, whether it's location or, well, it's probably location that you're signaling in, aren't you?
Sometimes both, depending on if you can pick up the pitcher's signs and everything else. So, yeah, but I located and recognized both. I sent both in.
Okay, who did you take advantage of pitcher-wise?
I don't know about pitcher. It's more catchers that would get lazy.
Okay, who did you take advantage of?
They go through a sign. They go through one round, and then they would throw just a simple one down. Like Pudge Rodriguez was a guy who used to do that. He'd just go through the signs and get frustrated and go, all right, fastball. You know, and go like, okay, fastball in, you know.
But what would you do in real time? So you're at second base. You're leading off second base.
Yeah.
And what's the signal?
So real time, I would go to my helmet. I'd walk back to the base, step on the base, go to my helmet like this, like I'm adjusting it. And that let the hitter know I have the signs. So being the leadoff guy, I would try to get there and see sequences. And if you were, I was able to figure it out, I may talk to somebody else who got there. By the fourth or fifth inning, if that same pitcher's out there and catcher, we had their signs. And so guys came up with a lot of different creative things. When I was with Seattle and Mark Langston was pitching, his signs were so complicated, I still don't know how the other infielders even knew. A lot of times I didn't know. But what he did was he played what he called the scoreboard sign. 1-1, 2-2, 0-0, any even count was first sign. So 0-0, first sign. So let's say he throws a strike. Now he's 0-1. It would be the third sign. And then if it was 1-0, it would be the same. So odd number. Then he goes back 2-1, 1-2. You went a different second sign. So it was a trip. You had to really follow along.
Did you ever give Ken Griffey Jr. a sign from second base?
No, Ken Griffey Jr., man, he should have been the big leagues at 16. He didn't need no signs.
Are we destined for Astros Dodgers?
I sure hope so. I mean, I want to see Alex Cora face Joe Kelly, hit a ball, and blow him a kiss. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this. And I think the fans want it. You know, in L.A., they've been wanting this matchup. I think it'll be great for the sport.
Always great to catch up with you. Thanks as always, HR.
All right, my friend. Take care, DP.
Harold Reynolds, MLB network analyst, and game one of the ALCS, Red Sox Astros, tonight on Fox. You can watch Harold before and after every game, MLB network, MLB tonight. Those signs when guys would get on second base and, you know, you'd have an indicator. Usually he said he would go back to the base and put his hands on his helmet. But, you know, you tap inside part of your leg. I mean, if you really wanted to be obvious, but when you're leading off second, you tap, you know, right leg, left leg, if you're trying to give, you know, an indication where the catcher is set up. Yeah, Seed.
Yeah, I remember it would be like the indicator, but then if the indicator is followed by this, then it's off and all of that crap. And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I would look down to the third base coach, and I don't know why I ever looked down to the third base coach, because he would always do that, like, swing away. There was never any signs.
Get a little swing away and a clap.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Because I always wanted him to go through a couple, like, all right, the indicator's the chest. Now it's after that. Now it's, well, yeah, you know, I was on a team that we weren't very good, so nobody was on base. It wasn't like there was anything magical, like, unless it was a bunt. Yeah, Paulie.
I'd have been a great bench guy. A little, hey, now, 2-3. A little, 2-3.
Come on. Come on. Yes, Todd.
My Little League manager told everyone on our team, if it gets by the catcher, to steal. And then he points to me and he goes, if it gets by the catcher, look at me first. And then we'll kind of discuss whether you're going to start going to that extra. Everyone else. And there were kids that were like heavier than me or people that you would think that might be a little faster. Than everyone steal. Fritz, stay put. I'll let you know.
Wow. Savage. That's good for the confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the time he decides in real time if I should go or not, I lost that moment. I'm not going anywhere.
Couple of phone calls in here. Let's see. How about James in Virginia? Hi, James. Good to have you back.
Oh, good morning, brother. Happy Friday, man. We are Washington. Thank you for taking my call, man. And as you can tell by the sound of my voice, man, it's a somber day for Washington fans, man. You know, Harold Reynolds said something when he was talking about Mookie Betts, man. Like, that guy makes a play every game. And when I think about Sean Taylor, man, in the 4 years that he played, man, in a short amount of time, every time he stepped on the field, man, he was making plays, game changer. I feel like, man, he wasn't just going to be one of the best safeties to ever play. I think he was going to be one of the greatest football players to ever play the game, up there with like a Jim Brown, a Reggie White, a Lawrence Taylor, Tom Brady, you know, talking about that kind of player. And I never really like to talk about, you know, the front office of the Washington football team. I learned a long time ago, man, I'm just a fan. Nothing that happens I have any control over, man. I just root for the burgundy and gold on the field. But, man, to bring a player that was taken away the way he was from not just football but from the world and from his family, defending his family, the way he changed his life from when he was a rookie, even in that short time, to becoming a leader of that football team, it makes me question my fandom, man. And I never thought, like, there's only one other time I felt that way, and that was after the 2008 season when they started 6-2 and missed the playoffs. But for them to do something like that, man, it's extremely disrespectful to not only that person but his family and all those involved, man, because it's not a farce. They would have had his name on this game ticket. His picture would have been on the game ticket. People would have known because everybody enjoyed watching him play, man. So it's just very disrespectful. I'm going to end on a positive note, though. I'm going to end on a positive note, man. There's a show out there right now, guys, called Alter Ego, and it just has real, raw emotion that people can connect to. And I implore you all to watch that, man, because it really just brings out what life is really about and the struggles people go through, man. So positive vibes, man. Let's go, guys, man. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, James. Well, questioning his fandom there. But, you know, there's a lot of Washington football teams who are upset because Sean Taylor played 4 years in the NFL and was an impactful player, and he was murdered. But, you know, all of a sudden, yesterday, Washington comes out and says, hey, we're going to retire Sean Taylor's jersey. He died 14 years ago. Given everything that's happened with the Washington football team, you know, you put both those things together. You can't help this. Now, you can say you made a mistake. I have a hard time believing you would make a mistake on retiring somebody's jersey who died the way he did. And it was 14 years ago. Like, why are we sneaking up on this? Give people time to, oh, wow, this is a big game. You know, you're playing the Chiefs. This is a big game. Make it even bigger. Now, maybe his family knew, but nobody else knew. Why is it I know when the homecoming game is for a college football team, but I wouldn't know that Sean Taylor's jersey is being retired? I don't know how many jerseys they've retired there in Washington, but probably people are given a heads up when they did retire those jerseys. It's just I can't give them the benefit of the doubt because they have so many of these moments that they just do stupid things. They're disrespectful. They do stupid things. And here we are staring down all these emails and everything that's in it, and it's slowly going to leak out, and they're probably going to be ugly things. As I said in the first hour, the cover-up's worse than the crime, and it feels like owners are protecting owners in a situation like this. Take a break. More phone calls coming up here back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex.
twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I forgot to get to McLovin. McLovin had a story about Joe Gibbs, the Hall of Fame coach. He coached for the Washington football team a couple of times. And I didn't know that you had a bad run-in with Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, it's really a reflection on the whole show, actually. To be honest, it wasn't really about me.
Wait. I thought I got along with Coach Gibbs.
Well, maybe not as well as you thought.
Okay.
No, it was, so I saw him. I was at, I don't even know why, I was at an Ohio State football game. Right. And one of his players, Jim Lachey, is an Ohio State legend.
Yeah, lineman.
Has a big party before the game.
Okay.
Joe Gibbs, I guess, was a had Lachey in Washington.
Yeah, okay.
And I met him, and there's a group talking. I'm like, oh, I grew up in Philadelphia in the 80s. You know, I was a big Eagles Buddy Ryan fan already. One strike against me.
Yeah.
And then I say, I work on the Dan Patrick Show. The guy next to Joe Gibbs goes, oh, that's the best show on radio and TV. Joe Gibbs just stares at me quietly, goes, be a lot better if they talked more NASCAR, and then turns away. That's the whole story.
Okay.
So he watches and wants more NASCAR
okay.
out of you.
All right.
But yeah, also he didn't like that I said I was an Eagles fan. I had forgotten him and Buddy Ryan did not get along. It was I was nervous and I sort of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But, maybe he appreciated when we had Dale Jr. on and have conversations with Dale.
Well, it was funny. He really did, because he's a NASCAR owner. He clearly watches the show. That became clear.
Yeah. Anybody else have a bad experience with a celebrity? Yes, Todd?
Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Bonds, I went to meet him as a limo was pulling up. He was going to be like an All-Star Game guest. And I stuck out my hand and said, hi, Barry. Thanks for taking the time for the show, whatever I said. And he said, I don't shake hands. Are they ready to do this right now? They better be ready to do this right now. He was just couldn't have been more of a jerk. And then Clemens, we had him in the green room getting ready to come on. And for some reason, the little TV monitor was showing what the production truck was queuing up as far as footage. And it was showing the Piazza bat throwing thing. And I had no idea that was the case. I just went in to ask him if he wanted something to eat or drink. It was like at the ESPN zone in Anaheim or something. And he's like, he points to the TV screen, which is behind me. That's a bunch of crap. You know that, right? I'm like, what are you? And then I look back and they're queuing it back and forth, trying to have it just right so they can, now he knows we're going to like be talking about it. That wasn't.
Well, funny. He couldn't be. He shouldn't be surprised you were in a show.
But it could have been on any other channel. For some reason, it was the feed of the truck editing that was going on, and he's watching that.
Anybody else have a questionable run-in with celebrity Seton?
I don't even know why I thought of this, because it's like such a random moment. But do you remember there was this show called Trading Spaces that was like a big deal? It was on like Discover or like Discovery or TLC, something like that.
Yeah.
And the host was this woman, Paige Davis.
Okay.
And she had a run. This is probably close to 20 years ago, but I just started in radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out at like a big like press junket kind of thing where they had tables and all these people were doing interviews. And she was really, at the time, this show was a big deal. It was like just pop culture smash, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's walking around with the handler and I'm next on the list of people that's supposed to interview her. And she got to the table and looked me up and down and went, I'm not doing Hartford, and turned and walked.
Oh.
Seton looked like Hartford?
She looked at me and went, ah, like total like stink face. I'm not doing Hartford. And left.
That's terrible.
It was awesome. Like, okay, well, scratch that one off the list.
Couple of phone calls in here. Marco in Arizona. Hey, Marco, what's on your mind?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Patrick Show from the land of the Pat Tillman legacy, baby. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. Squid Game. Awesome show, though. So, McLovin, give it a chance. And I was going to go into the Washington situation, but I'm going to go lighthearted because James covered everything I was going to go into. But I got an alternative lighthearted poll question.
Okay.
Ready?
All right.
With coffee, donut, or churro? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Marco. I'm not to the point in the show where we're that desperate for a talking point there. First of all, I wouldn't have coffee. Second of all, I wouldn't have a donut. Yes, McLovin.
I have a, by the way, a super dumb poll question if you want to make it even a lighter question.
Okay. What?
Adele's new album comes out.
Yeah.
Even if you loved her, would you date Adele knowing that you were going to be the topic of songs coming up? Ooh. Most of it is about her divorce.
Yeah, apparently. But if you make her happy, then you're not the topic of her songs unless they're happy songs.
This is the Taylor Swift issue.
Yes. Yeah.
But is Adele ever going to be happy? I know she's famously dating Rich Paul, LeBron's partner right now.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever going to be happy, but she needs the breakup for the songs.
Well, okay. If I said to you, you're going to write some unbelievable albums, but you have to go through this intense pain, a divorce, whatever it's going to be, would you do that? Because you get all of that material there instead of everything is great, you know, lollipops and rainbows, or you're going through this heartbreak. Seton?
That's like my favorite part of a band will spend 4 years writing their first album, right? And it's phenomenal. It's this unbelievable smash. And the second album is always, now that we've made it, life is hard. You know, it's like, or, you know, all of your dreams don't really come true when you've made it. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, Paul.
Does Rich Paul sign like a non-disclosure? You can't do it. You can't drop a Rich Paul box set in 2 years.
Well, I might not use your name, but the stories that come up there. I mean, Taylor Swift famously has written, you know, tons of pop hits or tons of hits, but it's based off of, you know, fractured relationships.
Dear John, hello.
Oh, John Mayer. Ouch. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, if she writes a song about how you should have traded your client Ben Simmons, we're going to know it's about Rich Paul.
This song's called Philadelphia.
I love Adele.
I would totally hang with Adele. Man. Oh, she seems like a great time.
I think Adele is beautiful.
Heck yeah.
She's got an unbelievable voice. I just saw the new video where she's talking about basically, hey, can you take it easy on me? And she looks great. She does. She sounds great. Not a big Adele fan.
Yep.
But she doesn't like performing. She doesn't like being on stage. And you know, there are other artists, Carly Simon, if you're old enough to remember Carly Simon, she'd get panic attacks being on stage. But Adele, you know, has those panic attacks, I guess. Yes, McLovin.
Who was You're So Vain by Carly Simon about? Did they ever land on that?
It's got to be Warren Beatty. But you know, she says the song is not about you, You're So Vain, but the song is about him being so vain. I was always confused with that, Seton.
Yeah, see, I got a big problem with that song. Because You're So Vain, you probably think this song is about you, but the song is about that person, so how vain are they really? They're just like, oh, this song's about me. There's no vanity in that.
Yeah. But I never understood that. But then she never told anybody who it was really about. But I remember Dick Ebersol, the former head of NBC Sports, he went to a charity auction. And there was something, she would tell you who the song was about for $50,000. And I think Dick Ebersol paid $50,000 to find out who the song You're So Vain. You know what, Fritzy, call for Carly Simon and Adele.
Yeah, we got to get this straight.
Yeah, see if we can get them on in the final hour of the show. More phone calls coming up. Meet Friday. Glad you're part of the program. Seton, Pauly, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly, final hour on the way. One more item, hour two, we put it in the books. RockAuto.com, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com, family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, giving people direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. Second, making those parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. We've both been able to use this, Pauly and myself, with our cars. RockAuto.com, there for you 24/7. Correct parts for vehicles of all ages, a vehicle that turns the engine off at every stoplight or has the battery installed in the trunk, needs a modern AGM battery like those that rockauto.com sells. And yes, the battery's delivered right to your door. You're not wasting time, you're not wasting money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that you listen to the program. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, rockauto.com.